I'll be like, okay, I have this book. I need to learn about it first because I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'm going to start doing little things. So you want to learn with me, and just them seeing me learning something and talking about it, like on purpose, because obviously I don't need to talk to them about it, but I do. And so yeah, just that's another huge thing, like modeling what you want them to do.
Yeah. And modeling happens
We want it to or not.
want it to or not. Like you said, you do. I talk a lot about that because they're not listening to the lecture, they're watching the show.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Michelle Gonneau. Welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I am a teacher turned homeschooler. So my background is very much education based, and I have now have three little ones, and I'm on the road to homeschooling them. But pretty much what I do is I started using all of my teacher background to help parents make learning fun at home for their kids, because I just know how many kids struggle and how many parents struggle with like homework every night, and just the, I don't know, I hate how kids associate learning with boredom and like frustration. And so my goal is just to really help as many parents just turn that around and help them see like learning outside the classroom is possible. So whether you homeschool or not, you can be doing little things with them in like 20 minutes a day or less, whatever time you have to give. Yeah, so obviously we'll get into that. But yes, so I help parents with that. And that's a little bit of my background.
Yeah. I had so many thoughts through my head while you're talking, like everything I agreed with. And then there's the part where, the homeschooling part, and like, I wish I had that in me, but I don't.
I totally understand. Some days I'm like, why? But at the same time, I'm just really grateful to be able to do that. So.
And I mean, it's, you know, everyone in my family is a teacher, and I'm not. you know, that I wonder, and my sister and I kind of ruminate on this as well. It's like, how did my mom do it with four kids of her own?
A lot.
And that be like her day job and her night job, like.
It's for sure like very just emotionally draining, like as a teacher and as a parent. So I can't even imagine. Like I did have an overlap, and then I stopped teaching because I had another like work from home job in between, and then now I'm kind of full time just mommying and doing this on the side, and so all the fun stuff.
And I have a temptation as well of like, so I'm a rescuer parent, which means I want to rescue my son from all the bad things, right? When there's times at school that you know are less than favorable and not in the academic world, like he's with academics, he's good. It's with the socializing and the and you know, being a teenage boy, I don't want to rescue him from that. And I know that it can't. Those are the moments when I'm like, okay, homeschooling, right? Like we can do this
Yes.
now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for me, it's definitely fun. Because even just as a teacher, like I feel like I never quite fit in because I was always trying to do it a different way. I was always trying to like make more, I don't know, like I love project-based things and like just tapping into their interests and not like just so dry all the time, not like turn to page, whatever. I'm like, oh, like I cringe at that. And so everything that I do is like hands-on and just like gets them moving, and then they'll just learn more like that. And it's just been pretty cool to see it because I did that in school, but to an extent, because like obviously there was curriculum you had to get done. And so now like having that little bit of freedom, I'm like, once I got the taste of it, I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I could ever go back, which is also terrifying because I'm like, I'm in it for the long haul here. So, but yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying just seeing them learning in a different way. And that's why everyone's like, why do you do it? Like, you aren't you busy enough? Like, why are you trying to help people now too? And I'm like, I don't know. First of all, I know it's a lot, but at the same time, I'm like, I've just seen the outcome of like how it helps kids. So I'm like, I don't know. I just feel so oddly motivated to help as many people as possible just to get this like become normal at home.
I truly believe that people like you and I were like glutton for punishment because we just want to help people.
Yes, just a
Yeah.
bit.
And you mentioned project-based learning, and that's a
Yeah.
something that I had. I only got, a little snippet of partnering with a school in Southern California. And they were kind of starting this project-based learning. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is like, and I don't even know the full extent of it. I just like the idea of project-based learning. My son's super into sciencey stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Grober, but he has a subscription box where you get engineering type.
Yes. Oh my gosh, so cool.
Boxes. Yeah. And so it's been fascinating because he likes to learn, but he also knows that he kind of anticipates how it's going to work. And so he wants to skip ahead without like kind of watching the instructions, and he just wants to
Yeah.
do it. Sometimes if you miss a step, then it doesn't work right.
Yeah,
There's
and then he's got to go back and figure it
My favorite line I've ever heard my son say is he didn't finish an assignment in, he didn't do all of the assignment in his history class. And he said, because I didn't read the instructions, because men don't read instructions. And I was just like,
That's
my God.
awesome.
And he's 12.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Yeah, just being around kids, you always get some funny comments along the way, we'll say.
So tell me more about what you do. Like, what is you help parents who are homeschooling. Is that accurate?
Honestly, not just homeschooling. So it's appealing to homeschooling, obviously, because they're in it, but I actually am more like I love helping the parents who aren't homeschooling too, because I like to help them see like you are their most important teacher. So no matter where they are during the day, like you are their first and forever teacher. You will always be like you know them better than anyone else ever will. So even just to tap into their interests, it's like even if it is just saying like, okay, this. Like this month or something, I like thinking like in months just because it's easy for me to organize in my head. But it's like, okay, for right now, it's very springtime, right? So it's like, okay, if the kids are interested in butterflies, let's do a whole little thing where we can learn about butterflies. And that just simply means like, let's get books about it and learn in that way. Cause I love like literature and just like picture books and all of that. So learning through books and then through like fun hands-on things. So we're going to be getting like little caterpillars that you can actually order and they're going to turn into butterflies. So we're going to watch the entire process of it. And it's like little things like that, or like doing mini field trips. My son is definitely super into like mechanics and he's 5. And so I'm like, good, let's totally learn about like the inside of a car, you know? And so that means, hey, we can get books, we can see how things work, and then we can go to a mechanic shop as like a little field trip, right? And let them like see it and do it. And I just want to like use that as my way of teaching, plus obviously all of the basics, because that's important too. So it's not just this and only this, but how special to be able to like do that with my own kids, but then also other people. So it's not like it's going to take up hours a day to do this. And I try to open up people's eyes to like, hey, your schedule is already packed, and here are some simple things you can do with them to like to help them in their learning. Just because that's what makes learning more fun. And yeah, sorry, I could go on and on. You can cut me off.
No, not at all. The thing going through my head is, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, in a different life, mm-hmm. I could have had some fun times, you know, but we are where we are. Yep. And my question comes from, you know, my own life experience, just because I'm going to ask you about the parents that are not homeschooling, because I would mm-hmm. imagine parents who are homeschooling, they have
already in it
somewhat of a passion for it, and you know, they have, if they don't have the skills, or if they didn't believe they had the skills, I would imagine that they wouldn't have attempted.
Yep.
So there's, you know, the parents who are helping their kids with homework. Mm-hmm. My experience has been, when I was growing up, there was a lot of frustration around teaching me things. And so mm-hmm. as parents, we kind of model the way that we were parented. So mm-hmm. when I'm trying to teach something, I really struggle because there's a frustration, like he's not getting it. So is there any help?
Help, please. No. So what I would say to that is, like, what was going through my mind, obviously I can go in 100 directions here, but what I kept coming back to was like that hands-on part. So usually I will like generalize here, usually homework is quite dry, where it's like, okay, read this, do this page or whatever, like a worksheet or a workbook or something like that. So my initial reaction would be like, hey, we both know we need to get this done, right? And so let's get this done. Let's be a team, if you want to go the team approach. And then let's use something that you're learning here and do it in a fun way. Can we do that? You know, and so a simple, like I did for a couple times, like just on social media, like, hey, let's turn this worksheet into a fun hands-on learning activity instead, you know? And so I would be like, instead of this, let's do this. And so that's my thought, like try to do it, do what you have to do, because obviously you can't just throw out homework, right? If they're in school. So do it, but like talk to them that like, hey, I know this is super fun. And I, even as a teacher, I used to do that with my kids, because like I wanted to be real with them, and I wanted to like say like, okay, I know when things are fun, and I also know when we're not doing something fun. And but sometimes we got to do that, and that's okay. So let's do this, but then make it in a more fun way. Or if you can't specifically do it on that topic, whatever that homework is, that's when you start saying like, hey, what is something you want to be learning about? Because this month I would love to like totally dive in. Let's do a field trip. Let's do a, you know, and kind of get them excited so that they can see both sides and experience both ways of learning, because we can't change the school system, right? And so not everyone like is able to homeschool or chooses to homeschool, and that's okay. So yeah, just definitely help them in another way. Does that kind of help? I don't know if that like addresses it fully, but just, yeah. And honestly, like also what you model, like I always love saying like monkey see, monkey do. So if they see you like dreading and hating, like learning yourself, then like they're going to pick up on that and take that on too. So I always try to like, even like something as simple as like, okay, I want to learn how to garden or something better, like truly learn how to create a garden. I talk about it with my kids, even though they're young. I'll be like, okay, I have this book. I need to learn about it first because I don't know what I'm doing. And then I'm going to start doing little things. So you want to learn with me? And just them seeing me learning something and talking about it, like on purpose, because obviously I don't need to talk to them about it, but I do. And so yeah, just that's another huge thing, like modeling what you want them to do.
And modeling happens whether
we want it to or not.
Like you said, I talk a lot about that because you know, they're not listening to the lecture, they're watching the show. And you know, my son came home yesterday and was like, Mom, I've got somebody asked me to make XYZ video thing. And, you know, and he's going to pay me to do it. And I was like, oh, really? What is he paying you? And he's like, well, he's going to give me a percentage of whatever he makes from the video. And he had 16,000 views on YouTube. And I was like, who are these kids? What is happening? And, you know, like it was just fascinating there was almost this moment where he was hesitant to tell me that it was a percentage. And it's like, you're going to learn one way or another how all goes down. So by all means, learn that lesson. And he's very much learning how to be an entrepreneur, as I've been an entrepreneur, you know, his whole life. And the other thing that was super funny was, I asked him something and he's like, Mom, I'm working right now. And I was like, oh, okay. a reality moment here, you know, just, especially that's how we'll just say that's how I still am. I will give it. That was a sobering moment for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah. And so I said, hey, let's go outside and blow some bubbles. And I lasted about 5 minutes because the whole time I'm like, how do people think this is fascinating? Like, oh, to have a brain that thinks this is so entertaining is just blowing bubbles, you know, but. But he also like explained to me why it was fascinating to him. He's like, well, if you look at these bubbles, when they're all colorful, like they're still solid, but then there's other bubbles when they turn this color and they're about to die, they're about to pop. And I was like, oh, fascinating.
Oh my gosh. He's got a cool mind.
Has a very cool mind.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So what's another something that clients that seek you out are struggling with?
Yeah, I would say the biggest one is that. And then also the side benefit of everything I do is just bringing like family back into focus. Because I feel like in our society, everyone is so disconnected, whether we realize it or not. But it's like everyone's just running from one activity to the next, or school, then after school, then okay, like we just got to get the kids here. And I try to pull back completely. And I'm like, okay, I'm helping with learning, but at the same time, all of these, like, because I give people specific activities to try with them, with the kids, or prompts, you know. And so everything that I'm giving is also going to help just strengthen family bonds. I am from a broken family. And so that is huge for me to make sure that I am raising my kids in a way that I'm not going to look back like my parents probably are right now and being like, hey, maybe we should have done it a little differently. Or like, oh my gosh, I dealt with so many students from broken homes, and it affects everything. And so it's like, yes, I'm helping with making learning fun, but I am so helping with that bonding piece, because that's just huge for me. And just spending time, like even how you said, hey, I lasted 5 minutes doing bubbles, but to him, that was the best part of his day. Meanwhile, you were like, what the heck is this? Like, why is this so fun? In his head, you like totally rocked it. And that's huge. And that's something that I actually say. I'm like, get a timer. Kids love like visuals. So I'm like, get a visual timer. set the clock for 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, whatever you can give, and let them pick, like, what do you want to do? What's, I call it our daily dose of fun. And so if that's all you can give, it's like, because I get that schedules are so busy. So yeah, that's another thing that I just really focus on. And I just saw and felt myself like just making sure that kids grow up feeling so insanely loved by their parents is huge. And so a lot of the conversations that I give people to use and I do with my own kids, it's like, that is the focus. So that's just another thing that I love talking about and just encouraging other people to do.
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that part in, because I know that a lot of times kids feel like when their parents get divorced or separate, that they feel like it was their fault. And to go even deeper than that, they feel like if they had been better, their parents would have been like, would have stayed together. If they had, if like, it's interesting how it has, most of the time it has nothing to do with the kids. I mean, sometimes it does, but most of the time it just has to do with the parents and life and how we get into relationships anyways. We're not always aligned with our partner, you know, or we out, or we grow. Like, one of the things that's kind of new is this concept that your brain, your prefrontal cortex, isn't even fully developed until you're 24 as a woman and 28 as a man. And how many 18-year-olds are getting married, or 22-year-olds are getting married? And, gosh, you know, it's like, it's, we don't even understand, like, how, if we're not growing together, then we're growing apart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. So that was a lot.
we need to exhale there.
Right, yeah. And it's coming from, you know, I've mentioned a couple times on the podcast that I'm listening to celebrity autobiographies. And I picked up Matthew Perry's autobiography, and it's really heavy for me because there's just so much in there. And it's like, I think of him as Chandler. And this is him, you know, 30 years post Chandler, or 20 years post Chandler. And it's, and he went through a lot, and I'm only 3 chapters in. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yeah, but that was a big thing.
He's 9 months old when his parents got divorced, and he still felt like if he had been enough,
yeah,
they wouldn't have gotten divorced. And it's like, that just is such a fascinating function of our brains, that we think that we're the problem.
Yeah. And I feel like even if it's not a divorce situation, it's like, I always try to remind myself when I'm about to lose it, like, I just want to lose it so bad, like frustration or any of those moments during the day that it's just, you feel overwhelmed by how they're acting, what they're saying. I have to say to myself, like, he's only 5. He's only 5. Or like, she's only 3, you know, and just remind yourself, because sometimes, like, I do it too. Like, I'll expect my kids to react in ways that I, as an adult, can handle reacting like. And it's like, they can't, like, they aren't made for that yet. There's going to be a time and place when they can, but we're just not there yet. And so it's like, just accepting the phase you're in, I think, is really important. And then just like knowing that it's temporary. So it's like, in 2 ways, like, okay, the bad stuff is temporary, but then the good stuff is temporary too. So it's like, I have to like be very mindful of that, because I have 3 young ones. And so sometimes I'm like, ooh, this is a lot, you know, it's a lot going on, but I'm like, but also they are never going to be this little again. So I have to like put that mind on and be like, okay, just get them to giggle, like get, like soak up those giggles today. And then, and just try to wash away all of the stress of the day. Yeah, that's just something else that I've just been really mindful of, because some days, obviously, I lose it and I'm like, okay, I'm so done with this phase. But at the same time, it's like, okay, that's when I take a break and I'm like, there's a lot of good things of this phase too. So let's just hold on while it's going on.
I was looking at my Facebook history, and I think 6 years ago I posted something that said, you know, it takes 5 minutes to clean up spilled milk.
Yes.
But it can take a lifetime to unlearn what you learned when you got in trouble for spilling the milk, you know? And I didn't reshare it because there's so much guilt that can be produced from that step. Yeah. And because of all the times that we've already done it, you know, and so I'll probably reshare it, but with a little bit of,
yeah, like, it's okay. We've all done it. We've all been there.
All been there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cause I'm pretty sure I just shared it like with nothing attached. And I was like, oh,
that's soften the blow this time.
Yeah, that's heavy. That hurts.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, but it's honestly a good like eye opener too. I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes we need to like get that shake. I don't know. Like even I do, like my husband is really good with that. Where he'll kind of like, if he sees me going down a path, and I kind of just give him the look. He's like, eyes on the prize. Like, remember, just remember it. And I'm like, okay, good. I needed that. I needed that little kick in the butt, and we're good, you know. So it helps.
Yeah. And the thing that I like to say as often as I possibly can is that guilt is a notification that how you are behaving or how you have behaved is out of alignment with what you believe a good mom is.
Yeah.
And so if it's a past behavior, forgiveness is, you know, part one. And if it's a current behavior, you know, what you were describing earlier is something that we call practice the pause, where you take a moment and you, before reacting as much as you can. I'm not perfect at the pause at all. I'm really good at going back and explaining why I reacted the way
and
that
the
I
apology.
My apology, I'm really good at that.
I am good at that one too.
But that's better than nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. If you can't, if you're not good at catching yourself in the moment, going back and apologizing, like that was one thing that I know that had my dad taken the time to explain his reactions to me, 90
that would have changed
percent of my limiting beliefs wiped out. And like, there's so much power in that, that we think that it's not, that it's not as powerful as it is, but it really is powerful.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. That's why I'm very, very aware of that, just because I never got that too. So I think that's the cool part about, like, I think parenting is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be going into it. And I'm like, whoa, did not see this coming. But I also know it's because I am personally unlearning a ton of behaviors that has taken 33 years to do. And I am parenting in a different way, which takes a lot of extra effort, I would say, from my experience, because it's easy to just repeat what you've done or what you've seen, you know? And so I'm like, I have to, like, every day I'm just being aware of that.
Yeah. So,
but one tip that I actually have that I thought of, I started this recently. So I just recently read the Bible for the first time. And so, yeah, that's a story for another day. But one thing that I took from it was the verse, like, be still and know that I am God. And the be still part, every time, and I explain this to my kids so they know, if I'm reacting, before I do, I say out loud, I close my eyes and I say, be still. And that's two things. That's be still physically, like, calm your pants. And then the other one is, like, be still and know. So know that God is with me, know that he is going to somehow put his spirit in me to react in the way that he needs me to. So I love that, because I really need that. And I needed that reminder. And I was like, oh, what a simple way to do that. Like, just simply be still. And I taught that specifically to my son and my daughter, the older two, just because they're aware of that. And it's been really cool. Cause like, I, And I tell them, I'm like, if you ever see mommy needing me, like needing to be still before I react, like, tell me. And we could practice that together. I'm like, can you imagine if they learn that skill now at this age, like how much that can help every relationship they have? Like, yeah, I don't know.
That's
something that's been super cool lately. Yeah.
So I normally ask for a piece of advice, but I feel like that was it.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, because I felt that one too. So that's really cool. Is there a book that has been instrumental in your personal development journey?
Oh man, so many. So I went on like the personal development road for a while. I wrote one a couple of years ago, more for teachers, but very much could relate to parents. And so I'm working on, I actually have a rough draft for another one, but I would honestly say the Bible has been huge for me. And I never really understood why people were like, oh, the Bible's my favorite book. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I have a lot of books that I've read that are pretty cool. And now going through it, I'm like, I am seeing just life in a totally different way, especially parenting and like the role of a mother from a biblical perspective, I never knew. And I'm like, whoa, like it has hit me hard in just a really nice way. And so the day-to-day like service that I am doing for my family is, I look at it differently. It's not a burden. That is my role. That is like what God wants me to do. And that's how I am serving my family and the world and my kid, like everything. So yeah, I don't know. I feel totally changed reading that. And it's just been like really cool to just see how I have shifted personally in my own life.
Very cool. Yeah. Where can our listeners find you?
My website would be awesome, michellegonneau.com. And then I'll give you all those links so you can add it to the show notes. But yeah, so that, and then on social media, just my name, Michelle Gonneau, pretty much on all of the different platforms. So you can find me at a lot of places.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love adding little tips every day. So there's a lot there if you want to do a deep dive, anyone.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing in the world and supporting parents, and because it's overused and I don't care, because we need a village. It takes a village to raise children.
Yeah.
And you know, people like you and other coaches like myself, we can create that community for people to be part of the village, and it's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been so nice.
Absolutely. So there will be another episode of Imperfect Momming for you all coming next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alyshalyons.com. That's alyshalyons.com. See you next time.